The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Turn me down. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Got it. Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Today, the 8th of June, 2023, 7:05 in the morning, the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Christina's at the helm.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Christina. What national day is it out there?
So today is National World Brain Day.
World Brain Day?
Yes.
Okay.
I just hope everybody will use the brain today.
Anyway, you said...
Who was?
And then I have, is her microphone on?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay, it is now.
Okay. All right. You it's know, 68 degrees you know, downtown already.
I don't push her too far because the next thing you know, she'll launch a drone at me, you know.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall we start again?
With that.
68 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 83. Partly sunny, and then a chance of thunderstorms. Chance of thunderstorms this evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 64. On Friday, partly sunny, a high of 84, and on Friday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 63. Saturday, a slight chance of thunderstorms, a high of 88 and a low of 65. That thunderstorm thing is kind of just continuing all week. On Sunday, a chance of thunderstorms, a high of 90. Sunday night, a low of 64, and continuing cloudy and a chance of showers. On Monday, kind of the same pattern, a high of 81, a low of 65, and that looks like we're going to not get in past 90 for the most of next week. I'm okay with all of that. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
It's also a veteran-owned business, and the owner, Chuck Kenny, is in Vietnam.
Yes, he is.
We speak on an MIA project that he goes back on a regular basis.
Yes.
Okay, before we get started with our guest, I need to give a big shout-out and a happy birthday to Jim Shelton. Now, a lot of people don't know who Jim is, but a lot of people do. He is the man that takes care of all of our yard and yard needs. And I can't tell you, it's hard to meet a harder working guy. And he does such great work, and he does things out of his heart. And he's just a super person. And I just wanted to say happy birthday, Jim. You richly deserve it. To have all these nice things said about you.
And it's just nice to recognize those people who make such a big difference in our lives by the services that they provide.
Well, and they are. And the ones you don't think about, but it's so much needed. And when they do a good job, and they're always there.
And consistent and reliable.
Reliable. And then and he'll come in on other days that we'll bring him back, and say, hey, can you come in on Saturday? Now it's that time of the year. We have to plant and do all these things. And he's right there.
Yeah.
So anyway, happy birthday, Jim. Now we are with, I don't know how to introduce her, but it's Reading City Councilwoman, City of Reading Mayor Pro Tem, Vanessa Audette, but also candidate for District 1 Assembly.
Yes. Good morning.
Get closer and turn her up.
Good morning.
Can we hear her okay? Now she reading. Christina? Hello? Make sure that her...
Thanks for having me this morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Turn it up. All right. So, of course, and you got into, well, you've been, tell us about you, because people, I've got a whole list of things here that people can't read.
And so often that we think we know because we work with the people, but the average person out there, tell us who Janessa is.
Yeah, so at least in the government realm, I have been working in local politics for the last 8 years. So I have been running political campaigns and notably worked with the Dallies with Megan's campaign and then went on staff. So I've been working as a district representative here in Reading for the last 4 years and then decided last year as I was meeting with different candidates, people that wanted to run, sort of the atmosphere about politics was causing a lot of people sort of not to want to get in. And we need people that understand the issues, that have conservative values and are willing to go fight for them and make the arguments. And so I decided to run for city council. And so I got there about 2 minutes ago. And then unexpectedly.
It's been all of 6 months, right?
Yeah. It hasn't been as long as I would have anticipated before going into something new. But the seat opened. And as we know in politics, it's about timing. And when
you change jobs a lot.
Do I? No, I usually add them. I add a lot of things. I have a pretty high capacity. I come from a huge family. And, you know, so there's always a lot going on. And I'm just aggressively optimistic. So I usually think I can tackle things. But, I mean, I left home at 17. So I've had probably 3 to 4 jobs at any given time for a very long time.
Tell us about you personally. Where were you raised?
My parents had they were a part of the Catholic Charismatic Movement down in L.A. My mom's from 10, my dad's from 6, and met in the church, and basically during that time decided to be missionaries to the USA. And so we were domestic missionaries. We were on a bus, traveled the U.S., did a lot of the Catholic festivals, and then they moved into the Foursquare denomination and did a bunch of festivals for them. So we traveled till I was 7. I think I got my first bed when I was 9. So there's 6 kids. So my mom had 4 kids by the time she was 26 on a bus, and one had ADD, 3 boys and 1 girl. So it's pretty intense. But, yeah, that's how we started out. And then grew up in L.A., went to college in Sonoma, went to Sonoma State, was a political science major. Began my arguing then. I think there was 2 of us that were Republicans in that for our major. And so had a lot of opportunity to articulate the issues. And having grown up being a bit of a missionary and always having an answer for the faith that you profess, I sort of saw politics very similarly. It is our constitution, our way of government is one where we protect freedom. And so it seemed to seamlessly connect these ideas, these big ideas of allowing people to be successful and allowing them to fail and letting them learn those lessons, pick themselves back up and begin again. And so America has been quite the experiment in allowing people to be free and not having a government dictate what they can and can't do. And so I studied political science. I worked in business right out of college. I worked for DeWalt Power Tools, which I loved. And then I had kids and I stayed home. And I stayed home for 10 years until they all went back to school, and then started working on campaigns.
How'd you get here to Reading? Because you were down in Southern California.
Yeah, so unfortunately, my oldest was pretty severely bullied. And it was a difficult time to figure out how to not have my 8-year-old lose her identity because of some things that had happened to her. And so we had friends at our church that had said that Bethel has an elementary school, and they teach these kids to stand up, to speak, to be leaders. And so we came to visit, and she sort of came alive when we came into the room, and we just made that decision that for her we would move. And so we did. So we came up here, put her in the school. She just graduated high school. She is going to college in Florida. And so I feel like...
Can she stand up for herself now?
She can. And she didn't lose that desire to stand in front. She's a bit of a arguer. I don't know where she gets it from. But, you know, she has her viewpoints and wants to discuss them. And so I'm just grateful that we had the opportunity to sort of catch that early and had an alternative to sort of put her back on her own path.
Okay. We're here with Tanessa Audette. She's the mayor pro tem of Reading, but running for District 1 since the Megan Daly is fleeting up to Brian Daly's spot. And
she's running for that spot.
She's fleeting up to that spot. No. We'll probably talk about this later on today, too, but we got to take a quick break. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. We belong to Cornerstone Community Bank, or we do business with them, I should say. It's a community bank, local board of directors. It is a community bank. It's local. They got 4 branches, 1 in Red Bluff, 2 right here in Reading, 1 right down the street at 1845 California Street, the main branch over there in the Cobblestone Shopping Center, and the newest branch down in Anderson.
Yes.
They had to do it a little bit different in Anderson, of course. They had to bring crayons in so people could... No, the newest branch down in Anderson. And they've been around for 16 years, and they have been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. I don't know.
It's just really too bad people can't see looks, right? I mean... I was always known for my expressive ability by facial to let people know. In fact, I got beat up a lot for that.
You know,
and that one would have killed Carl, I can guarantee.
No, because you love me. It only froze half my body. And the part without, you know, the part, my heart is still beating, but I can't move my right arm. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Hey, we'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Reading Fitness Center would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Reading Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Supervisor Kevin Cry claims he wants to fix potholes, but instead flushed millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer money down the drain. That kind of money would have filled thousands of potholes. Once Cry is recalled, Shasta County gets to elect a true fiscal conservative. The voters of District 1 and the citizens of Shasta County deserve better. Join the conservatives who stand against Kevin Cry and want fiscal responsibility. District 1, sign the recall. To find out more, go to recallkevincry.org, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. 1 out of 5 falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. program.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Reading Colt 45's Baseball is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we're able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark, Carl Bott, 7:20 in the morning here on the 8th of June. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only area hospital with Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system. What's that mean? It means less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Shasta Regional Medical Center is really on the edge of the technology there with the TAVR valve replacement and so many other things that you no longer have to travel to 3 hours to have these procedures. They can do them right here at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Trish and I are here with Tanessa Audette, who is the pro tem mayor. Mayor Pro Tem of Reading, but also running for State Assembly District 1, and we learned a little bit about her. I have some questions. Put on your city hat.
Okay.
This new plan, the new city plan of Reading?
The Reading specific plan?
Yeah, whatever y'all just spent $1.2 million on.
Yeah, the last council.
Okay, what is that supposed to accomplish?
As I understand it, the last time that there was a specific plan for that general area, which is all of Park Marina and the Civic Ground, was maybe over 20 years ago. And when that offer came in, because I was in the audience like everybody else watching mm-hmm. the process, when that offer came in, it triggered sort of this, okay, so this is what you want to do, but what does the public want to do? And obviously there was contention from all the parties that hadn't been included, Advance Reading, the rodeo, trying to understand, like, what does that mean for them? And, you know, what does the public actually want? It's public land. And so as I understood it by going to those meetings and watching is that what they decided was instead of to tentatively agree to go into negotiations and declare surplus land and allow the McConnell Foundation and K2 to create a specific plan for that area, they opted to put all of the input back into the city by doing a specific plan, which means that the public will be part of the entire process to decide what we want there. That doesn't mean it happens, but it means it'll be zoned for what the public actually wants to see there.
And now let's clarify. This is for the Park Marina, full Park Marina property?
Yeah.
Because that's not all public land.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So it's for the...
Because Park Marina is owned by Kutras.
Exactly.
But it still includes his pieces.
But okay, but it is, yes. That is part
it's
of the plan.
It's
okay.
Private,
okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify
yes.
that.
And
that.
Private goes, and public.
Private
goes,
and public.
Okay.
Because of the zoning.
So,
yes.
And it goes past Turtle Bay and then how
takes
far?
In, takes in the...
It's that Civic Center area.
Mm-hmm.
Down Park Marina
right.
with the intention of, you know, anything that basically anything done in either is going to impact both. And, you know, for instance, you know, there was obviously pushback, like we don't want restaurants in the riparian areas over by Turtle Bay and in those. So it's like, okay, so then if restaurants are neat or wanted along the river, would the Park Marina area be the place to actually do that? You know, so this whole giant idea of it. Now, the benefit to let's say the rodeo or to the Civic or to Turtle Bay or to the Kutras family or, you know, all of the interested parties is that these types of reports are very expensive and it will be a preliminary document that actually helps to figure out what a developer, if they were to come in, wants to do and can do. So,
and to remind people that what the city government or the county government does is to zone the property to allow.
Yes.
Then it takes a private person to come in and say, okay, this is zoned retail, this is zoned commercial, this is zoned house family.
Yeah.
And then they put it in. We don't tell them what they're going to build there. That's not government's job.
Correct. And I think the concern is we don't want housing along the river. We don't want apartments over there. We don't want a restaurant where our walking paths are. And so this type of a document says, gets the public's input, and when the public says, we do not want this here, it's not zoned for that. And so when you do that, then even now, if somebody came in and said they want to put housing at the Civic and some body snatchers came in and took over the city council and they said yes to that, it'd go to a vote of the people, because you can't just rezone public land without the input of the people. So there are lots of different ways that it sort of catches. It's not just, hey, we're just going to wildly go and do something inappropriate that the public doesn't want. So this specific plan process.
But it comes down to the vote of the city council.
Yeah, because it doesn't go to vote
of
the people.
It will. If we voted, if the city council had voted at that time to somehow put housing down there and on the civic land, that's public property. And so if you're going to do that and rezone a public park into housing, it'll go to a vote of the people.
So what is the
think about the hotel, right? So that was public lands. It went, right? The council said they wanted it, and then you had Measure B. So that's the process. It's not simply just the vote of the city council. When you try to rezone something like that, you then have to go to the vote of the people.
Okay. So there's stakeholders down there.
Absolutely.
In that area. Well, how come Reading Rodeo Association and the Native American groups, Asphalt Cowboys, were not part of that group?
Which group?
The stakeholders. Are they stakeholders down there?
As far as I know, they're stakeholders.
Then is there the Reading Rodeo Association can't get a extension on their lease, and their lease is up in 3 years.
Right.
Why is that?
So when I came into, when I started to run, I mean, even on the Surplus Land Act stuff, so when that was all happening, I mean, it was an education in a lot of different areas, especially with surplus land.
For a lot of us.
Yeah. So, the good side is that you're like, okay, again, California has so many regulations, more than any other state by double. And so a lot of times, you know, when the city a lot of times becomes a consultant for business and for different entities, because you have to figure out how these things work, and you can try to get consultants to help you to understand, or these agencies to help you understand, but a lot of times they keep it vague on purpose. And so when it comes to the Surplus Land Act, there's all types of rules and regulations about what you can and can't do to lease. And so specifically for the rodeo, when I first came to start running, I sat down for hours with different people on the Reading Rodeo Association, listening to what it is that they wanted. There was an assumption that we don't want the rodeo down, or that the council doesn't want the rodeo down there, but that was not my understanding. So I was like, tell me what you want. Tell me the vision. What are you dreaming about? What do you want it to be? What do you want it to look like? And so in that process, it's like, okay, great, I've listened to what you want. Let's go to the city, see what's actually possible. And what they were saying and what the statute was saying is that if you actually want to do any type of demolition or reconstruction or building a better rodeo, you'll have to go to Surplus Land Act. Anything over 5 years, you'll have to go to a surplus land if you want to do that type of renovation.
Well, I don't think that's the type of renovation they do, is tear down the arenas at all. In fact, I'm positive of it. So in the city council meeting, it was brought up by the mayor about sitting down and discussing an extension of the lease to the Reading Rodeo Association, which has been here 75 years, just had the rodeo, and it was voted down 3-2.
Yeah, so that
and
was
you were, and you were one of those who voted against it.
Yeah, absolutely, because they weren't ready for it. So if we go to serve, because
who wasn't ready for it?
The Rodeo Association's not ready.
Not
for
ready
it.
For an extension to their lease.
Not an extension, a long term extension. Because if they want to go over, listen, they want to build something amazing, right? They want investment in order to build something that they want there. They need investors, which I'm all for. You can't do it on 5 years. You're not going to get the grants or the investments on a short-term lease. You need a long-term lease. You need to have that type of flexibility to where someone's going to come in and say, this is a worthy investment and I want to build into it.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
You need a 10, 15-year lease.
You probably need more than that if you want to put in the amount of money that they've talked about putting in.
They would be happy with a 10 or 15-year lease. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is like obviously multifaceted. So there's no one simple answer to this. So I'm not trying to present this like there's a simple answer. So, but I've probably met with maybe 8 different people from either the association, Reading Association, or Asphalt Cowboys talking about what it is that they want to do. And I think that that's an ongoing discussion that they have rightly brought in people to help counsel them about exactly what they can and cannot do, which is really important because at the end of the day, the goal is to keep them there, right? It's to keep the rodeo there.
Is that your goal?
That's the public's goal.
Is that your goal?
That's the public's goal. So that's my goal. It's not my opinion of what I want. I'm a representative.
But you are the one that votes.
Okay,
but let me finish here. And that is what I would. Let me just finish here. Is this is going to become big?
It is big. It's always been big.
But it seems like at least the council would talk about extending the lease.
I have absolutely been talking about extending the lease. Everybody that we've met with, we've talked about extending the lease. So what is possible is really what's important. So talking about with them what exactly is possible to do, talking to city managers, to the city attorneys, like what actually can they do and what would that mean for them? So if they don't want to do, because most of the discussion is to be able to get investment, to be able to get grants, to be able to actually get it the way that they want it.
And you need a longer lease for
100%.
That.
But if you have those intentions and you go over 5 years, they're limited because it triggers surplus land.
Well, Bethel got a 10-year extension on their lease. So what's the difference?
Yeah, so Advanced Reading got a different lease agreement because they have no plans to do any type of renovation at all. They're not doing anything to the property. So their terms are they can't make any modifications to the building that would trigger surplus. So their lease is just different. So if the Reading Rodeo Association said, we don't want to make any changes, give us the maximum that you can give us to just let us be able to get our investors, get the things we need to actually build it up, I'm happy to give them whatever doesn't trigger surplus land. Because not because we don't want to trigger surplus. When they're ready, we should. We should absolutely do that. Because when they have their investors, when they have a portfolio that says, hey, here's what we want to do. We actually need 30 years. We actually need 50 to make this pencil. They may want to buy it. You know, you don't know. The surplus triggers on sale and lease. So depending on what they want and the investor that they have and the plan to do it, that's where you negotiate by what you need for the project you want to build.
But there's one part I want to – I just have to throw in. The elephant in the room is you're unable to give them an extension, but you can go into an agreement to do an environmental impact report on the boat dock, which impacts their piece of property.
Right, but that's not a lease.
It's not a lease, but you're spending money on a plan that if it's adopted and that option is adopted, it impacts what the Reading Rodeo Association does with their property.
In what way?
You're taking, you're concreting over half of their property in the back.
It's 2% on the back side, and it's just relocating right currently where there's a trailer there now that's storage. It's literally just cutting in. I walked it with Cindy.
You walked it with Cindy, but when you talk about asphalting all that over, then the city or the rodeo association has to bring in tons and tons and tons of dirt to be able to have so that the cowboys and the contestants can offload their animals, use the alley, and the fishing guides. And the Reading Rodeo Association is all for having that the boat dock done.
Yeah.
But all the fishing guys that were there, Fly Shop and these others, said,
don't need that.
We don't need that. We just, you know, a better dock is great, but we just come in, drop off, and leave.
Yeah, so if everything was just common sense in government, we'd all be much happier. But the fact is that when you create the parking lot, which has the longer bays for the boat and trucks, you know, when you do that and you build out this parking lot and resurface it, you have to have emergency access. So the way that the emergency vehicles have to be able to come through, come back around, infringes about 2% into where the
well,
Reading.
How can you do that without getting permission from Reading Rodeo Association?
I think, well, as my understanding, having been there for the last walkthrough, I mean, they did communicate with them, and it's a leasehold. So basically it's an alteration to the leasehold, to which they said, give us what you want as a concession. Do you want us to, like what you talked about, put in dirt, put up new fencing for you, redo your arena, redo that for you, rebuild that arena. So
I think it's just a constant negotiation. First of all, we have to take a break, but then we need to move on because now I want to talk about assembly. But
sure.
This is just, I mean, a lot of people are upset about this because it's obviously not clear.
Absolutely.
And during that briefing by the guy talking about the expansion of it, he said, well, their lease is up in 3 years. Those were his exact words. And
right.
When you hear that from a city employee who's encroaching on the property, you have to wonder, well, what does that mean?
We don't have to deal with it because their lease is up in 3 years. I'm not going to be here.
Up in 3 years. Go back and listen to it. That's what he said. Anyway, let's take a quick break. Thinking about purchasing an electric car? Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your truck, car, or bike in the charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We're here with Mayor Pro Tem Tanessa Audette, running for Assembly 1 representative. And we come back, we want to talk about the things that she wants to see happen if she's elected.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And, of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple-sized trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
If you are 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday. Check in at the River Club with your River Club card and play your favorite slot machine to receive 5x points from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. While you're in points, you can put your points back on your slot machine for more playtime or redeem your points for dining vouchers, gas vouchers, or a variety of other prizes. For more information, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Pye. We're here with Tanessa Audette, Reading Mayor Pro Tem and State Assembly District 1 candidate. Okay, what do you want to do if elected? What are your top priorities?
Well, I would say, having worked in the legislature for the last 4 years, you know, most of the interactions with our constituents. The Senate district is larger. It's double the size, but it just got redistricted. So we basically had all of what the First Assembly now has, plus some extra. And so in that time, I mean, we've gone through some pretty huge crises, obviously, with wildfires, with drought, and insurance. It's a really big deal. People are there's a fair plan that is anything but fair. So I would say, you know, getting into Sacramento, insurance, you know, figuring out ways that we can change the way that we do insurance when it comes to wildfires to account for those things and not wide sweep it to everybody. And water storage, you know, getting a healthy forest. These things protect us up here. Our way of life up in the North State is enviable. It's why Reading is the only place that's actually growing. We're that number one small city in California where you can still come and dream about building a business, building a family, having the things that matter. So up here in the North State, our natural resources, agriculture, these are the things that are worthy of protecting and making the arguments for.
A lot of people in our district feel like, no matter who we elect, we're going to elect a Republican. We generally do.
Yes.
Having said that, however, they're mostly ineffective because they're surrounded
numbers.
By Democrats.
Numbers.
The numbers are there. Doesn't matter what kind of a great argument they bring to the table. The votes are not there to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think explaining our value. Here's the thing. We don't need to defend anything up here. We feed the world from the North State. That's what we do.
We try, but they're making it more difficult all the time.
Exactly, and Democrats want to eat too. Everybody wants their farm to table. We're the farm.
They want to eat Republicans.
Well, yeah, they can try. But I do think that we need to tell a better story up here. We don't have anything to defend. What we need to do is be on the offense, to be communicating the value up here. We are the watershed. As everybody's actually feeling the effects of Mother Nature, what they need to understand is that we can do something about it. We talk about things we can't control all the time, but there are things that we can control. And our water storage is something that we actually can control. Understanding that we're the watershed for the state is something that people don't know. You know, you talk about agriculture. People do not know throughout California, especially in Southern California, that we feed the world out of Northern California. You know, they think we're just up here. It's where the nuts are, you know, no offense, but, you know,
but this
it
has
is,
been,
technically.
But this has been yeah. true for 40, for 40 years. Yeah. I served on many water committees in
yeah.
the 20 years. I was an elected official, and every water meeting that I attended any place in the state of California, I would have to stand up and remind them that their maps did not show the source of the water.
Correct.
Because the maps never went north of Sacramento.
Correct. Yes, they have no idea.
So what has changed? I'm saying that was, I've been off for 16 years.
Right.
What has changed in the last 16 years that makes you think you can make a difference.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that attention has turned towards government. They have literally squeezed the life out of California. People are leaving. They're squeezing the middle class completely out. You cannot have big government and a middle class. You can't have both. You get one or the other. And as government tries to control everything, you have small businesses, you have large businesses. These middle ones are going away. Because you can't grow here. You can come here, you can seed a dream, but you can't actually grow it into something more because they immediately start hammering you with regulations. They immediately trying to control and to manipulate the markets the moment that you have any measure of success. And people are feeling it more and more because they're aware more and more. One of the good things that happened when Trump came into office is that he has awakened people. But now we've got to show them where to go and what to do. We have to have leadership that says, hey, just to remind you, this is what you're talking about when you're talking about organic, farm to table, climate, all these types of environmental issues. You are absolutely ignoring the most fundamental food and water that is provided for you up here by not taking care of our forest, by not taking care of water storage. So we can make that argument.
Okay, I need to take a break. But when we come back, I'm taking a list of the things that you want to fight for. And maybe we can do one sentence or two sentences on them. You've already talked about wildfires, agriculture, and water storage. I'd like to go down a few more of these just so people can hear just an idea. I mean, it's not the last time you're going to be on here,
okay,
of course.
An hour doesn't last long. Yeah. It's a great conversation, but it's hard to get it all in.
Everybody that's running comes on here, but I want to do it several times. This is a real important election, and the more we know about our candidates, the better it is.
Absolutely.
Okay, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Hey, if you're not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials or other things, since it's so life-changing, give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168. He is a pugnacious fellow, and he will fight for you. Former air assault infantryman in the Army, a former law enforcement officer. He actually worked for the insurance companies for a while, and he said this is wrong. And he opened up his offices, which are now the largest workers' compensation offices north of Sacramento, to fight for you. Give them a call, 530-262-2168, and it's a free consultation. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Some people got the real problems. Some people lot of love. Some people think I can solve them.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout, or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Trisha and I are here with Tanessa Audette, and you are a spunky person. You are.
I'm Italian.
Well, you remind me of somebody else. I'm not even going to mention their name. I mean, don't back down a second, you know, and not that I try not to be offensive. Have I been offensive at all? Okay, thank you. Okay.
The frustrating part about these interviews is there's so much information.
Yeah.
Get in, and you don't, an hour is just not enough.
That's
time.
Why next time you come on, and I want to have the candidates that want to come on, I want to give them an hour, and then, like, next time we'll let you kind of, say how you're going to do these things. But
sure.
This is just the first one. Okay. Right to bear arms.
Yeah.
Are you for that Second Amendment?
Absolutely.
Any restrictions?
I mean, just maybe common sense ones, because we all want, you know.
Like felons and mental.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, listen.
Because that common sense, that's what the gun grabbers use. Oh, these are just common sense.
No.
Okay.
No. Listen, I am the DOJ specialist at our office. When people have DOJ issues, they call me. I have 6 right now cases open for the DOJ. They are delaying rights. Are denying rights by delaying them at the moment. They are slow walking people. They are doing undetermined. I am absolutely for the Second Amendment. We have the Second Amendment to protect ourselves from the government. You're not going to have those First Amendment rights unless you have the Second Amendment to back it up. And so these things are fundamental to what we said when we started this country. It's not going to change. People didn't get any kinder. They didn't get any more altruistic. There's no angels in government. And so you need checks everywhere. People need to have checks on government. I teach a government class, and I tell them all the time, you need to be suspicious at all times. You need to assume the worst, you know, and not to be angry and all of that. But listen, power is corrupting, and people in government tend to start to think that government solves all your problems, and they don't.
Okay. All right. Here's a big one. Education and rural education. Since COVID occurred, our schools have gone down into a horrible spiral throughout the United States.
Absolutely.
What's your thoughts on education and rural education?
Yeah, I think that for a long time we've talked about the gap in rural communities and access in rural communities, and nobody was listening because they don't understand. I mean, one of the great things that has happened with our representatives is they've brought people here to just see what's up here, to see how we do life. And when it comes to these rural schools, they don't have the internet. They don't have access. They don't even have teachers. There's no housing to put teachers. So it's a real problem when you have to go miles and miles and miles just to get internet access to take a class online because you don't have a teacher. That's a real problem. And I think for the first time, because of the pandemic, Sacramento realizes, oh, this is a bigger problem than we realize.
People assume that everybody has internet access.
Yeah.
They don't.
And in rural California, that's not true.
It's not an option.
If COVID did one thing, maybe it opened their eyes up to say we need a internet network that reaches all of our rural areas.
Yes.
So
definitely the limitations were exposed during COVID, and so hopefully that those conversations, and then like you said, I'm feisty. I'm not controlling, but I'm incredibly pushy, and so when something is important, push until we can actually get something done.
The state of Jefferson has, existed since well before World War II. And their whole mission is representation. They're saying make it into a separate state. But it's representation.
Yeah.
We have one vote for the whole North, 10 counties?
11.
11 counties. We have one vote. What do you see as a way to get us, more of a say? Is there any way to do that, Tanessa?
I would say, I know people up and down the state, elected and in the party and stuff. And, I just think at all times articulating the argument, drawing people in to understand why it should matter to them, why this whole state working together, networking all of its resources together, is just in everybody's best interest. And I do think that coming from a place of we can get this done, this is possible, assuming the best of people a lot of times is a much better way to negotiate one-on-one than to throw bombs and hope that nobody, exploded that you need to communicate with to talk to. So I do think that there's lots of different methodologies when it comes to politics. But for me, it's important to actually just argue the ideas.
Okay. Yesterday on our show, Judy Maxwell talked about insurance. State Farm, and it's not the only one. There's like eight.
Allstate just did the same thing.
Yeah, there's eight insurance firms out there. Companies largest in the United States are refusing to cover property.
Yeah, yes.
What can be done at that state? And they're saying they've got to take the insurance commission. They've got to let them raise prices on certain things, so that they will come back and into the fold. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another one of those classic ways where the way that things are worded sort of manipulates the situation. I mean, if we want to manipulate markets, this is what we're going to get as a result. I think it's Thomas Sowell that says it's competition, not government, that protects the consumer best. And so if you want to protect consumers, you have to let the market bear. And basically the state of California, as it does, has meddled and has manipulated markets, and as a result, they can't do business here. And they have asked and lobbied and done all the things that you're supposed to do in order to, get them to listen to you, and it hasn't worked. And so this is sort of – I'm glad they're taking a stand to say it's actually almost impossible to do business here. California, 400,000 regulations is too much. If you want to control everything, go ahead and control it. We're out. And I think that's a good first move.
That's what they said.
Yeah, but that's the truth. And so it's like, it's not that we want to raise prices on consumers or you want it to be unaffordable. They want to get business. So they're going to have to make it affordable, but you have to allow them to decide how that's going to be possible to get those customers.
Yesterday, we learned that the companies took in $7 billion worth of premiums and paid out $15 billion for damages. Okay, got like 2 minutes. This last 2 minutes is yours. So you can tell us why we should elect Tanessa Audet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important that you know who it is that's going to be representing you, that they can give an answer for why they're going to do what they're going to do. And I like the tough questions. I like the tough issues. I think it's important to understand what you think, why you think it, and how you're going to defend it. Because a lot of times you have a bad decision or a less bad decision. In California, they don't give you many options of, here's this great plan and a not so great plan. A lot of times it's like the lesser of two evils. And so it's important that, you explain why things are happening and stay connected and communicating. I would say more than anything, as I go throughout this district, they're asking to, we want to be connected to our legislators. We want to know what's going on. And in the world of Sacramento, there is so much happening, right? You have to be like a jack of all trades when you are representing these areas. You have to understand a little bit about all those things and know how to gather people around, gather the experts, gather them to discuss issues and solutions. And there is that. There are solutions. I've been talking to insurance agents, local and then more larger, to talk about what's happening at this smaller level, what's happening at the larger level. It's not just going to be a lobbyist that you talk to. Being connected to your local people, there's a reason why the boards that I'm sitting on is because, like CalCOG, I'm on the California Council of Governments, I'm on their board of directors. It's more work, but it's worth it, because what happens in Sacramento all the time is people pick and do things and vote on things, taking away more local control.
Okay.
I could talk about this stuff.
I know. Well,
if you tell me to talk about government, I'm like, let's go. I want to talk about this stuff all the time.
Well, you know, the thing about government is, and I will say this to everyone that comes on here, is you've got a steep road. You've got a steep hill. It may even be a side of a cliff that you're having to pull
funny
yourself
that you say
up.
That. You know, funny that you say that.
That you have to, you know, you pull yourself up on.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, that is the story, you know, of the promised land. I mean, that is the story. The story of Jonathan is he said, hey, that cliff over here, let's go climb it. And if the enemy says, come on up here, then the Lord will deliver him in our hands. I mean, that is the truth. The truth is that nothing worthwhile is ever not going to be hard. And so I'm willing to climb the cliffs. I'm willing to fight the armies. I don't care if I'm outnumbered. There's no way that they have better arguments than us.
Okay. Well, we'll let that will be the final words
itself.
On this one. Yeah.
Really great, Tanessa. Thank you for coming
in.
Yeah,
I learned a lot about Tanessa, and she is indeed a scrapper. So doesn't mean we agree with everything, but, you know, you've got – I think we have a would-be representative that's a conservative one that believes in all the things and that the North State does. That, you know,
absolutely.
And that's the thing. We can't forget who we are up here.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll have you back on soon.
Awesome.
All right. Okay. Got to take a break for the news.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Program. Well, it's been 60 wonderful years, and at this point, I think it's time for me to make the announcement that I will no longer be the host of the 700 Club.
He had a huge impact on American politics and religion, running as president as for a Republican in 1988, and from that experience founded the Christian Coalition. Other ventures include Regent University and the American Center for Law and Justice. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week rose to its highest level since October 2021.
The Labor Department reports U.S. applications for jobless claims were 261,000 for the week ending June 3rd. That's an increase of 28,000 from the previous week. Weekly jobless claims are considered representative of U.S. layoffs. The four-week moving average of claims rose by 7,500 to 237,250.
Correspondent Jeremy House on Wall Street, the Dow up 102 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Government is spying on you. No surprise, I know, but did you know the banks are helping them? And did you know that withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. Let Swiss America educate you about this. Banks are now required to spy on us for the government, and they report any behavior they think is suspicious. You'll be shocked when you read The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. This new war against cash is really a war against the Constitution, against all freedom-loving Americans. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Get your free copy by calling or texting 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. This war on cash is growing daily, and it also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get and read The Secret War on Cash free by calling or texting right now at 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. Message and data rates may apply.
The owner of several New York funeral homes arrested on charges relating to the U.S. Capitol riot.
An FBI agent wrote in court papers Peter Maloney appeared to have come to the Capitol prepared for violence, with protective eyewear, a helmet, and a can of insecticide, wasp, hornet, and yellow jacket killer. He's accused of spraying wasp killer at police officers and attacking journalists, including an AP photographer. The agent says Maloney was seen punching and shoving the photographer before other rioters pushed the photographer over a wall. Brother and funeral home co-owner Dan Maloney says the alleged actions taken by an individual on his own time are in no way reflective of the core values of the business. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A man with a knife stabbed four young children in a lakeside park in the French Alps, assaulting at least one in a stroller repeatedly. The suspect identified as a 31-year-old Syrian with refugee status in Sweden. Townhall.com. Two GOP-led House panels held a joint hearing Wednesday to examine election integrity in Washington, D.C., consider a bill that would rewrite election laws in the nation's capital.
Republicans on the House Oversight and Administration Committee touted the American Confidence in Elections Act, or ACE, as legislation that would ensure a safe, accessible, and secure election system in D.C. Democrats on the panels pushed back, saying the bill's aim is to disenfranchise people. The bill would rewrite D.C. election laws, despite local officials arguing there have been no issues with the current statute. Republicans cite Congress's constitutional authority to oversee laws and spending in the district, but local officials say members of Congress do not know what is best for D.C. residents. Edwin Mora, Capital.
Workers at the Barnes & Noble on Manhattan's Union Square, it's one of the chain's signature stores, have voted to join a union. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Trish Clark, because it's Thursday, my Thursday girl's here.
Thursday morning.
Christina's at the helm there. How
are
you doing? Okay, I'm sorry. That was a horrible Ukrainian accent. It sounded more like a Scottish-German guy.
Do I sound like this?
No, you don't. That's just it. You know, you don't. You sound melodious.
Thank you.
Melodious. Okay.
69 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 83, partly sunny, and then a chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, we're looking for, again, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 54. On Friday, partly sunny, a high of 84, and a low of 63, mostly cloudy. On Saturday, slight chance of thunderstorms, a high of 88 and a low of 65. Kind of the same pattern throughout the rest of the week. Sunday, chance of thunderstorms, high of 90. Sunday night, a low of 64. Monday, chance of showers, a high of 81 and a low of 65. Kind of continuing into the week. It's kind of muggy out there, but it sure beats 110, so I'm all over it. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Nice Anderson-owned business, veteran-owned. Chuck Kenny's out there doing great things for our veterans.
Doing God's work. So, you know, that was interesting. I really hadn't had a chance to sit down with Tanessa. Even she must have been on the show when she was running for city council. But you can't really see how what they're going to do. And we had, the discussions we have. And yeah, maybe I'm a one trick pony, but it's the Reading Rodeo Association is the rodeo is so important to this town. And there's perceived things about the city council about this thing. Anyway, and then just to let people know that they voted on the short-term rentals last night. And this is what I mean. People say, well, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. I went down there, and I'm not saying it's me. It could be anybody. I went down and said, this is wrong. And they looked at their ordinance, and Lily Toy, God bless her, she was right there. She says, we have to go by this ordinance. And it was like a one-page ordinance. And I said, how can you do this to neighborhoods? And they listened. And so 6 months later, 7 months later, no, I started last year, so what, yeah, 7 or 8 months later, they finally got it on there and voted. And they said, you're right. The people on the street have something to say about it. They put a density circle around it 200 yards. So if there's one there, there can't be another one within 200 yards. That protects your, that protects you from getting surrounded by them.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Annalise Pierce, who writes the Shasta Scout, she writes some fantastic articles. I mean, well-researched. And she talked about the number of rentals available in Redding. It should be between 5 and 10% of, of the property out there. It's less than 2% that are available for rentals. So what's that do to our working people?
Mm-hmm.
And if you figure 400 of that, because that's the cap, I think, they put on it, it could be short-term rentals. Where do people live? If there's only less than 2% of the property available to be able to rent for a working family, Christina went for weeks and months trying to find a place before she finally found a place. And the same thing with Liam. So it's got to be balanced out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the short-term rentals. I just think that a neighborhood, you should have something to say about your neighborhood. And they acted on it. I don't know what else they, what other restrictions if they put on it. But anyway.
The point being, if you feel strongly about something, make a difference. And if
you can.
You can't sit and say, I can't do anything about it. You have to at least try. And that's true of any part of your life, whether you're in a medical situation or a government situation. Be your own advocate. If you feel strongly about something, step forward. What do you got to lose?
You know what? That's exactly it. Because there's somebody on that board that's going to look at you and say, you know what?
Maybe that's true.
Let's take a look at this and just see, okay, what is the problem? And then once they looked into it, it was like, whoa. Okay. Let's move on.
There's all kinds of things happening at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and I probably don't want to get into all of those things, but I have to state for the record how totally and completely inappropriate it was for the District 2 supervisor to show up as a elected representative in a shirt that purports to get rid of one of his colleagues. How inappropriate was it for Mr. Gorman. To show up in the boardroom with a recall Kevin Cry shirt? I'm sorry, that's above and beyond the pale. Terribly, terribly inappropriate.
All the people that voted to recall Leonard Modi,
mm-hmm.
and as everybody knows, I was against that recall, and I'm against this recall, just because I'm against recalls. And they voted for Tim, thinking they were going to get a conservative guy who had the backing of the red, white, and blue and all this. Things have changed a little bit. But this one right here, I'm trying to find the letter that the head of the GOP in Shasta County wrote. I'm going to find it. I'm just going to read parts of it here. But, you know what? It's one thing to disagree, politely, but totally with somebody. And there's one thing to do,
to
the
do
looks
that.
On your face and all that, because everybody does that.
Well, you
but
can do
but
that
to actively do a political act during the Board of Supervisors meeting, I have not seen that.
Well, it was totally and completely inappropriate, and here's the article you're looking for.
From the doctor?
From Mr. Garman from the Shasta County Republican Central Committee Chair.
Yes, okay. What? Have you got it right there?
I've got it right here.
We'll read part of it.
Well, okay, so...
Or just, summarize it or something.
Okay, so it basically says that all five members of the Board of Supervisors are Republicans at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have always maintained about Republicans and why they don't do as well as they should is because they eat their young. And this is a perfect example of that party affiliation backlash that we cause in the thing. It says, he attended the Republican dinner. He heard Representative Doug LaMalfa state President Reagan's 11th commandment. The 11th commandment was a phrase used by the president of Ronald Reagan thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republicans. What you have done is open the door for many within the Republican Party to call for your resignation from the party and from the office. It goes on to talk about all those reasons why you shouldn't do it. But he's an elected official. He was elected to do the job as a county supervisor. He can have his private thoughts as an individual, but not when he's sitting on the dais representing the people who elected him.
If he went in there and he had pro-life T-shirt on, what would have happened?
It's totally inappropriate.
I know, but if he had worn that T-shirt, there had been a lot of people screaming about that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Terry?
Well, I know because I was there. I actually went over to Mike Mangus, and he and I walked over during the break to Tim Garmin, and that's where Mike got his article from. And Mike and I were talking about it. I said, did you notice that Tim Garmin was wearing a Kevin Cry T-shirt? He goes, what? I go, yeah, let's go over there. So we walked over there, and Mike took a picture of him, and he goes, I can't believe this. This is what Mike said. I've never seen something that's inappropriate. I said, this is the budget meeting. And I asked Garmin, I said, you know, this is a budget meeting. You're wearing this shirt. No matter how you feel, it's fine. That's up to you. But the point is, this is the budget meeting. This is the people's business, and you're wearing a recall, one of the people you have to vote with today. You're wearing a T-shirt. Well, you know, I have my reasons. And I go, well, I don't know what those reasons are, but, you know, you might want to explain them to me. I voted for you. I put signs up for you. And while I'm telling him this, another person from District 2 comes up and tells him he's been the biggest disappointment we have ever had in the district because he ran on certain things, and then he turned around and voted the opposite way. Whether you agree with how he voted or didn't isn't the issue. Each time he voted, including the Dominion machine, I had talked to him 2 days prior to those votes. He told me he was going to vote the complete opposite way on three different items where he turned around and voted the way he voted. When we elect somebody and put money out and put signs up for somebody, for them to do these kinds of things like that, it's just so inappropriate. Trish is right. I've never seen anything like this. And Mike and I were just kind of going, man, we've been doing this for years, man, and we've never seen anything like that.
Well, the thing like this is, you know, it's recall cry. But, what you know, my earlier statement, what if you had something up there wearing a shirt that says, life starts at conception. What do you think
that's apples and oranges, and here's why. That you're asking me my opinion. That's apples and oranges. You're talking about voting on the people's business, their money. You're talking about a budget, and you're sitting there, and you're going to vote and discuss with your comrades up on the Board of Supervisors, and you're wearing a shirt to recall them. I mean, what, you know, you're not wearing a shirt to not abort them. I mean, really and truly, one of the things David Bendis said to me, who's another piece of work, he said basically, you know, here's the deal. What about Patrick Jones throwing fundraisers? I said, Patrick Jones didn't sell tickets during a budget meeting. I said, the whole point is that there is no justification for this. Dan Sloan was correct in the letter he wrote. They had all agreed as Republicans that they wouldn't go after one another. They try to support each other. If they don't like something someone's doing, just keep your mouth shut. And here Garmin does that. Now, here's another bit of scuttlebutt, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll throw it out there to you.
Okay, wait a minute. When you say scuttlebutt, we don't know it's true, right?
That's exactly
so
right.
So this is just a rumor.
This is a rumor. But
okay.
It's a rumor, and that's exactly what I'm saying. This is a rumor I heard.
All right. So it may or may not be true.
May or may not be true.
I just want to make that real clear when people are listening.
But I think that somebody will substantiate it one way or another. So let's just throw it out there, because this is what's going around out there in the media. Basically, Tim Garmin had called Mary Rickert to see if she was going to wear her T-shirt, her Kevin Cry T-shirt. She declined, but encouraged him to wear his. Just saying. So, I mean, the thing is that it's just, and when I asked him about it, he goes, well, you know, I don't want to be bullied by these people. And I felt Kathy Darling Allen was bullied. I go, well, that's fine and dandy, but you felt that Kevin Cry bullied her? And so you're wearing a shirt to recall him as you do the people's business? That's not a distraction for anybody? I mean, seriously?
You know, Terry, the most important distinction you have made, each one of those members of that Board of Supervisors have a right to their personal opinion. And when they're acting as a private citizen, not as an elected official, they can do whatever they want to. But it is absolutely, totally inappropriate for a member of an elected board to sit on that dais as a representative and act in that manner.
Okay,
well,
Terry.
You're absolutely correct.
We got to run.
100%.
We got to run.
One last thing, though, because I did hear the attorney, okay?
Yeah.
I did hear the attorney told Mr. Garman to remove that shirt, that it wasn't a good idea for him to wear it.
Well,
at least turn that darn thing backwards.
Well, I mean, the whole point is,
what's the point of that?
Yeah, that was in your face wrong.
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
I'm 3 minutes over. Thanks,
Terry. Thanks, Terry.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by NorCal Tractor and Equipment, an Anderson-based business, and a really nice couple owns this. And they've grown their business. They're there for all your Kubota needs. And with, as we learned about insurance, and insurance agents are coming out, they're sending drones over your property, all of that, because they want to make sure you've got defensible space. Why am I saying that? NorCal Tractor and Equipment has the small machines that you may need to clear that property, give yourself defensible space. They show you how to use it. If I can drive a backhoe and use it, anybody can. They're located at 2540 Gateway Drive in Anderson. Give them a call at 530-221-6800. They've got all types of stuff. You know, 4x4 is, you know, I mean, if you want to rent something for the weekend, they've got it all there. We'll be right back. I can't wait.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
My name is Dawn Duckett. My husband John and I are fiscally conservative Republicans, and we support the recall of Kevin Cry. We are among the silent majority of hardworking, law-abiding Republicans throughout Shasta County who are outraged. Many Republicans agree that Kevin Cry is not a fiscal conservative, and he must be removed before his wasteful spending and careless decision-making bankrupt Shasta County, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number 1, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number 2, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, friends. RC here with Tobacco and Brew, talking about this month's Cigar of the Humidor, La Ranja Reserva by Espinosa. Featuring a fragrant and flavorful Brazilian La Ranja wrapper, this unique stick garnered a rating of 94 from Cigar Aficionado, with a profile of hickory sweetness, rich almond paste, citrus zest, and peppery spice. Get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I get all sweaty somehow, you know, because Trish won't let me turn on the air conditioning, and I'm sitting in here, and I'm standing up,
70
and,
in here.
And I'm moving around, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm getting sweaty. I got a long sleeve shirt, but it's light. Okay, it's 8:23 in the morning here on the 8th of June. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. My friends, if you didn't hear yesterday's show, you need to tune in. It was at 7 o'clock. Judy Maxwell laid out what's happening in the insurance agency. And Tanessa Audette, who was here at 7, said this all goes back to the restrictions that California's putting on businesses. And, right. And so this is how they're fighting back. They are taking away property insurance in California. There's at least eight companies and more that are either not going to sell property insurance or they're going to not renew property insurance. And so what's that do to you? I mean, or they're raising the rates so high that you were paying $400 a month. Now you're going to pay over $1,000 a month.
And even it doesn't have any bearing on where you live or what kind of fire danger you're in. I'm in the middle of the city of Anderson, next to the river. And my property, my homeowner's insurance has doubled.
Okay. So what I'm saying is Maxwell Insurance and Financial. If you want to learn more, if you are having problems with the insurance, give Maxwell Insurance and Financial a phone call at 530-221-0441. She is an expert on this, and she will help you. Okay. Stone. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I started getting pictures yesterday morning with Mr. Gorman, and I thought I was getting punked, but apparently not. Yeah, here's a spin that is coming. I'm the eternal pessimist, pessimist in the room. Somebody has to be. So I think the Kevin Cry recall is likely failing, and this whole t-shirt wearing incident is likely intended to continue to split and divide our community. I think it's a left-wing tactic that's being used against us, and let's all keep our eye on the ball. You know, this is getting into the weeds, but you know, the thing is, Mr. Garman, unfortunately, he's on the other side, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's your all side to put him in there.
Yeah, but we're not the one that turncoated him. He turncoated himself.
You know, this is interesting.
So, you got to watch out for recalls.
I'm sitting here with my iPhone exploding with messages.
Yeah.
and his time is limited.
That's why I leave my iPhone in the other room.
Well, that's why I say the Kevin Cry recall is failing because the GOP chairman is calling for Garmin to
resign. Quit.
Well, guess who fills that vacancy, folks? Yeah, you know exactly the answer to that one. That won't change the board majority if Tim Garmin is replaced even with a socialist. That won't change the board majority, but that's not the point now, is it? The point is to continue the consternation, the divide in Shasta County, because we have been making great strides in the last 2+ years. To take back local control of our local government, and the establishment does not want that. Now, I ran Shasta County Citizen Journalist for a couple of years during the pandemic, myself, Lori Bridgeford, and Corey, and we were heavily active. We have many sources, many, many sources. I got a source yesterday, Tim Garmin, and I will not reveal my source as an independent journalist. Tim Garmin was warned prior to the meeting that it will be political suicide if he puts that shirt on, and he did it anyways. That's why I think this is part of the plan. This is part of the plan that he's going to quit. He's been told, Mr. Garmin, you are now the sacrificial lamb. We're going to wish you off into the cornfield and replace you.
Because the governor would appoint the replacement.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what you need to tell people. That is automatic that the governor appoints.
Okay, but let's just say this. Okay, but we got to make this clear.
If he resigns.
If somebody resigned or something like this, then it goes to the governor. Now, if he resigns, I think if he resigns, then the board can.
No.
No, even if somebody resigns. No, okay, okay. No. I don't know about that, so I will not talk about it. But here's the thing is, here's
the thing. Wait.
Okay, just turn him down for a second. We've had two counties, Glynn County and Modoc County. They both, you know, they recalled or something with the other supervisors. Newsom has not appointed anybody. Now, Shasta County is the most populous county in Northern California. This may be the one that he reaches down like the fairy godmother and puts somebody in. Okay, Stone.
This is not part of the new law, Carl, is what you're conflicting. This is about recall that the governor has changed the law.
Right. It isn't
about it has always been the law that the county supervisor is the only position in county government that the board of supervisors cannot appoint. They can appoint the auditor, the sheriff.
So that's been forever.
That's been forever.
Okay. All right.
10 years ago, that law was put into place in an omnibus bill. It was hidden on page 147 of a 400-page bill, where the governor shall appoint. Now, there's no time limit in that law. It just simply says, for a vacancy, governor shall appoint. That's it. So there's no time limit. And if he doesn't do it, there's no ramifications. So I hesitate to believe the recall cry people that when they say, well, if the governor doesn't appoint, then you can have a special election.
Okay.
I hesitate to believe anything out of their mouth until I see it in writing.
Okay, we got to run, Stones. We got to run. Okay, hey, when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about something else about the Board of Supervisors that happened. Now, I'm just trying to figure out that if somebody makes an apology, why is it not good enough? Okay? This portion of the show brought to you by Gold Leaf Nursery. It's back open and stocked with fruit trees, blueberry, and strawberry plants, all veggie things, seeds. They have it all. They have herb plants and much more. They also have the new statuary there at Gold Leaf Nursery. I love the water features that Linda has put in around our house. It just sounds nice. They're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road. They're good people down there, too. That's Gold Leaf Nursery. We'll be right back.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and loaded with Japanese maples, flowering dogwoods, peonies, and more. Saturate your landscape with color, azaleas, clematis, phlox, perennials, and annuals. And add another dimension with statuary, bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. On sale, locally grown vegetables, all tomatoes, peppers, and even cantaloupes, watermelons, and so much more are 50% off. Great sale on blueberries, strawberries, and boysenberry. Buy three, get one free. Gold Leaf Nursery, open Tuesday through Saturday at 6186. Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs.
Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Reading Colt 45's Baseball is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Wind River Resort and Casino is putting the glamour in your next camping trip with our $70,000 summer glamping swipe to win drawing. Swipe your River Club card daily to win instant prizes like free drawing entries for your chance to win a 2023 Coleman Lantern trailer. Join us for weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Winners receive 25 bonus entries into the final drawings on June 29th and July 27th. For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280. You win. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Welcome back to Free Fly Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bach. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. This is where I've gone to get a haircut since I've lived in Redding, and I love this place. It's a veteran-owned business. They get discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments. I make it work on my schedule. Just give them a call at 530-244-9478. Never had a bad haircut there, ever. And they're very pleasant. Tim and Logan are just really nice guys, and it's man's last stronghold. And my friends, it's not a hair salon. It's a barbershop. Okay, Trish and I are here. I'm going to take one phone call, and then Trish and I need to vent. Leslie, good morning. Hello, Leslie. You're on. Leslie? She has written down Leslie.
I'm here, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I have it on mute.
Okay. What you got?
Hi, good morning. So I'm glad you're going to transition to why an apology isn't good enough, because that's a perfect place to go with this.
Okay.
But I will say, I was there yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
I work for Mountaintop Media. We're a conservative media outlet.
Uh-huh.
And so when I got the call and the pictures that said, you know, Tim showed up and he's doing a photo op with A News Cafe, I had to go down there because I couldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
I was on the campaign for Tim. So when you guys say, oh, your side put him in there, we did.
Yeah, you
and
did.
And nobody feels more betrayed than the people who worked their butts off for him. Than the people who knew he was a great guy. I still believe Tim has a heart of gold. I think he's great as a person. I think he is the kindest, warmest person. But I am completely floored by this behavior, because a kind, warm, loving person, a pastor of a church, does not do something so hateful and so divisive. And he said yesterday, how can I, as a man of God, continue to allow somebody to, bully people and whatever without taking a stance?
Yeah.
My question is, how can you, as a man of God, do something so disrespectful, so divisive? I feel like that's worse than whatever standing up you think you're doing. And then when Perry approached him at the dais after everybody broke. He didn't do it in a big public setting. He waited till it calmed down and nobody else was around. And he approached him and he was like, this is unacceptable. Like, that's not appropriate. You need to change. It's unacceptable. And Tim's last thing that he said to Terry was, if I want to be bullied, I'll go talk to Supervisor Cry. And to me, that was such a just underhanded, hateful comment, and super out of line.
Okay. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you. But, you know, you're...
Hey, let's talk about the apology. Nick, you're just going to have to wait. Jones offered an apology. Other people talked about this. And all you heard about was, well, that wasn't a good enough apology. I heard it. I read it. You know, I wasn't standing there. but it seemed...
I watched it.
You watched it, but it seemed like he tried. He reached out and said, you know what, this is wrong. The whole thing is wrong. He apologized to Nathan, and then it started. That apology is not right. That's not enough. You know, it went on like this. I've been a victim of that, where you tried to apologize to somebody, and it just wasn't enough. So you try again. Still not enough. And the third time, I said, this is it. This is the last time. But I'm sorry it happened on our station. I didn't say it. Linda didn't say it. The guy was taken off the air. I've been sued since then, and won. I also pointed out that there are comments on that person's things that are published that are horrible too. I said, I don't hold you responsible for them. And that's the last time, you know, and I, you know, if that's not enough, you know, pound sand. I did not say that, but that was it. And so I'm really upset about the fact that an apology isn't good enough. You've got to say these certain words.
It is, in a nutshell, the reality of our media coverage almost exclusively, 99%. There are certain members of our Board of Supervisors that cannot do anything right, no matter what they do. We do not have any media coverage that ever tells the story as it happened. There is such a slant on it. They are going to downgrade anything that Patrick Jones does, anything that Kevin Cry does, and anything that Chris Kellstrom does. They are going to say it's wrong, doesn't matter what they do, and that's not fair coverage. The citizens of Shasta County deserve to hear what actually happens in a meeting without being colored by the opinions of our very liberal media. I'm just done with it.
And anyway, what I'm saying about this is somebody offers an apology. Be big enough to say, okay, you know, I accept your apology, but then then not come back and say, well, it's not good enough.
Well,
you know,
and everybody did, all the media did, that, and even Mr. Pickney.
Yeah,
he said he didn't. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't right. It wasn't blah blah blah. I don't know what else Mr. Jones could have done. We all do things,
yeah,
and then sometimes second guess ourselves, and I could have handled that difference. That's what he said.
And when it happened, in my opinion, Patrick should have handled it totally different.
Yeah.
But that's Patrick, and he was in the middle of it happening.
Monday morning quarterback.
I know what I would have done. I'm pretty sure you know what you would have done. But and it wasn't handled the way it should have been. Okay, I made a mistake. I should have done this differently.
And that's what he said, and they need to move on. But unfortunately, as I indicate, there is absolutely no way that we're going to get any fair coverage. And I hope that the citizens of Shasta County realize that they need to be watching these meetings before they form an opinion about these supervisors. Because everything you're being told is just not true.
Okay. Nick.
I just want to make the comment that I don't feel Patrick Jones owed anybody an apology. But I want to go back to Newsom appointing a supervisor. He did, in fact, appoint a supervisor in San Mateo County. And in Glynn County, six names were put forward. The report came back. They're too conservative. Pick somebody else. This can be... you can check on this to see whether it's the truth or not to go by going to the... the May 30th meeting, and go to about 2 minutes when Mary Rickard and I had a discussion, and this came out in that. That is fact, and that's just all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Nick. And let me clarify at this point that the thing that people need to recognize about these appointments for this, and I'll say it one more time, I said it earlier. It has always been the case, to my knowledge, from the time I was on the Board of Supervisors, that we as county supervisors could fill any vacancy of an elected position, the auditor, the treasurer, tax collector, the clerk, the sheriff, the district attorney. We could fill any of those by appointment, except a county supervisor. The governor appoints the county supervisor. in Modoc and in Glenn County, that was the case. Those resignations or those vacancies were not caused by a recall. They were caused by other circumstances, resignations, death, I don't know what. But it didn't have anything to do with those supervisors being recalled. The new law that applies in Shasta County is as a result of a recall the governor will appoint. You can't, you apples and oranges.
Okay.
If you're trying to compare
right.
the two.
But they did put in the names.
Yeah, I heard that.
And they were,
and I don't know
if they said, oh, these are too conservative.
I'm sure they did.
Well, I don't, you know.
the governor doesn't think
that they're worthy or something. You
know? No, that when you talk to the appointment secretary, because I've talked to them, and I told you that they, a Republican governor is going to appoint Republican people. A Democratic governor is going to appoint Democrats.
Okay.
That's just how it works.
All right. Shelly? Hello? I may be pronouncing your name wrong. Shelly? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Shelly.
Okay. Well, I am pronouncing it wrong. Shelly.
That's okay. So I had sent Trish in her messages this morning the Chapter 38 Campaign Activities, Section 38.1, Section 3207. I'm not going to read it, but if you guys want to skim through that, it kind of has some code of conduct as far as political stances in the boardroom. And so I won't take up any of your guys' time because I want to listen to you guys, but I just wanted you guys to check that out because it will sum everything up about what Tim did and how wrong it was yesterday.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
And here's the thing about recall, my friends. You know, the reason that Newsom and his gang, his cohorts, the flying monkeys down there, passed this was for reasons like this. Because they saw Shasta County and other counties saying, we've had enough of this. We want to, you know, we want to take control of our county. Now, whether you agree with it or not, you know, a recall is on. It didn't have to go through, but it, you know, it did. And now another one's being attempted. And I got a feeling there's going to be another one right now. They are ginning up for another one. And what's going to, but that's why they did it. And now the governor, who, by the way, still hasn't appointed three judges that we need here to sit in our brand new courthouse, and it's been years, and he has not appointed the judges. And what makes you think, unless, and here's my supposition, Shasta County is like the hotbed of people wanting to take control of their area again. He could just reach down, and he could appoint anybody that lives in the first district.
Okay,
anybody.
So I'm going to put what Shelley just referred to. Section 38.2 is campaign activities of county officers and employees. County officers and employees are prohibited from engaging in campaign activities related to county elective offices within county-owned or county-leased premises.
Sure. Okay.
The term premises means a building or other, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, there is specifically a law that prohibits what Mr. Garmin did yesterday.
So,
Chapter 38, campaign activities.
So, the bottom line on this is the chairman needs to point that nobody can do that, and probably Mr. Garmin needs to be censured.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
Yeah.
This is just standard. You don't engage in politics within a certain distance of a polling place, an election. All of these things are part of what you don't do as an elected official.
And military, we got to take a break. In the military, they can be involved in politics, but not in uniform. They cannot show up. They cannot have anything to do wearing a uniform. So, and I look at this in the same way that if you're, and you know what, Tim has a perfect right to work hard, give money to the recall cry thing. But when you wear a shirt like that, that just, you know.
But you can't do it on government property.
You can't do it. But and like the lady said, he seems like a nice man, and he is a pastor of a church. And this is, you know, this way I'm taking a stand. But there's a lot of ways to take a stand. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store. It's locally owned. It's the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Watches repaired, batteries put in, a great selection of jewelry, everything from Native American to estate to specially designed pieces. They have it all there at very fair prices. That's Four Winds Jewelry, Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Redding is a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner for Father's Day weekend, June 16th through the 18th. This massive burger sports two 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun, two onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, and the rest. We don't serve it often, but when we do, it's everyone's favorite burger challenge. Come celebrate Father's Day weekend at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I just want everybody to know that Tim Garmin absolutely has a right for his beliefs, political, everything. The problem with it is when you bring it into the chambers there. He could stand outside after the meeting or before the meeting wearing that T-shirt. There's
not on government land.
Yeah, well, okay. He can be out there getting signatures, and that's fine. But the whole thing is during the chambers and all
on government
going,
permit. And it's Chapter 38, Section 3207 of the Government Code allows the county to establish rules. And one of those rules is Chapter 38, Campaign Activities, Section 38.1, 38.2, et cetera. That's where you can refer to the what I was speaking about, not
okay.
wearing them in county.
And permit. If you didn't get it, just after the show, just go back to the show and replay it a few times. Lori.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Trish. I have a quick comment or two and then a quick question. We're looking at civility, decorum, you know, just the basic common decency, if you will. And I have to say, I was at the Board of Supervisor meeting on Tuesday for the morning section, and I saw a reporter from the Record Searchlight, I'll just use the initials, I already put it in the chat room, DB, sitting on the floor, keying away on his laptop during the Pledge of Allegiance, which, I'm sorry, I'm working next to a veteran reporter that I work with, Robert, and I couldn't believe what I saw, because it's not like, okay, he's on crutches or he's got, you know what I mean, there's physical impairments, and I get it, but I just thought that was unusual. And then we have Susan B., who's at a recall table at Lake Boulevard Raley's, assaulting someone, simply asking a question or clarifying what they're saying about Kevin Cry. I have the police report number. This is from Sunday, so I'm not sure Raley's would appreciate that they're having to deal with this kind of violence. And lastly, the attorney that hangs out with you-know-who at the meetings, flipping me off. I have a big photo of that. And I'm like, I don't need this. I don't speak out. I don't swear. I don't threaten people. I give my comments or opinions. But I just, that's my comment part, and here's my question, and I have to be somewhere at 9. But what, Carl, what would warrant you being okay or supporting a recall? At what level does someone have to do something before you're like, you know, does it have to be a mass murderer? It can't be that bad. I'm just curious why you're against it if you're not able to give a reason. And I'd love to see you at some of these meetings since you're so close to the Board of Supervisors. That's all I'd like to share.
Thank you
for taking my call. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't go to Board of Supervisors meeting. If I want to watch what happens, I just take, you know, I do it on my time because I run a business and I don't have times for 6 hours. Now, am I interested in it? Do I make comments? Yes. Do I look at them online? Yeah, I do that. What would it take for me? It would have to be misfeasance. It would be something that they did that was illegal in the
which is exactly what Modi did.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't misfeasance. It was malfeasance. Or if it was malfeasance in the other way, I get them mixed up.
Well, it was a change of words, but anyway, yeah. It was malfeasance.
But the not according to the grand jury.
Not according to the district attorney.
You know, and Suzanne, that's a good question. It's kind of like art.
Lori.
It's kind of like art. You know what it is when you see it, all right? I haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean I wouldn't be, but it has to be, I'll know. And so far I haven't seen that on either one of these.
But Lori brings up a really good point, and that's part of what my frustration is, that all of these people that have all of this media coverage and write all these things in that want us to believe they are pure and everything they do is right and everything we do. And I am conservative. I'm a little right of Attila the Hun. Everybody knows that about me. But everything that the conservative side of this argument does is wrong regardless. We can't do anything right. They never present the facts of what was said, how it was said. They only give their opinion, and their opinion is that they're right and we're wrong. And I think everybody's tired of it. What upsets me is that I don't think that everybody understands that when they read these articles, they believe that what they're reading is accurate. And that's unfortunate because they're being led down a path. As you indicate, Carl, not everybody can take the time to sit through the county supervisors' meetings. They can't sit through the board of the city council meetings. They have families to raise. They do things. And unfortunately, they get their beliefs from those snippets of information that they get, and it's all negative, and it's so unfortunate. We have this show that tries to give both sides of the situation. We have maybe one conservative newsletter out there that maybe you can find, but you got to search for factual conservative information, and most people just don't know where to look.
I will say that the person that Lori is talking to me, or talking about in the assault, sent me an email. I'm trying to find it. Where she denied it ever happened. She said there was no report. She was never arrested back in 2022. I'm just saying that's what she says. And since I haven't seen any of the documents, okay.
Yeah.
And assault is so funny. Assault is pouring water on somebody, you know, or a bump. You know,
yeah,
from what I read about it, it wasn't like fist out there and a knife pulled, okay? But it doesn't make any difference because that's what the law is. Okay.
Yeah.
We got 2 minutes. Here's my final thoughts, and I'll give you yours. If we go over, that's fine. I think Jones was sincere when he apologized. I think Jones also said, and Patrick Jones makes a lot of mistakes, in my opinion. It could have been handled right then, and none of this brouhaha would have happened. And he said that. He said, I could have handled that one better. Yeah.
He said that on the radio.
And everything, you know, Annalise Pierce, who writes Just a Scout, she brought in a First Amendment expert from an organization, and he said, as bad as words are, yeah, it's still, they have a constitutional right. Now, how you react to that is different. But then the apology, and then now, and it's front page news, which goes everywhere. Oh, that's not good enough.
Not good enough.
What's good enough? Your turn.
Well, and I think, again, I have to say, the issue is the gentleman who said that word, totally out of line, I'd like to think and I feel that if I had been the chairman at that time, I would have commented on it. Well, I would have chastised him to please not use that kind of language that's inappropriate in a Board of Supervisors meeting. He should not have been removed for that. I want to make the distinction again that Mr. Pinckney not once but three times was warned not to cry out from the audience.